A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew, and one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots of the thresholds shook at the voice of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me."
A reading from Romans. Brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. In fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, Lord, your servant is listening. You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Now speaking in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Blessed Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. God the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. It's not an easy concept to grasp or describe. And this is one of those times, I don't know about you, but it's definitely for me, where the more you think you know, the less you actually know. A mystery to be pondered, but one that can be experienced rather than theorized. By seeking to go deeper in understanding and faith, we can deepen our earthly experience of living our lives in a God-conscious way, a life that is driven by the power of the Spirit in the name of Jesus to the glory of God the Father in heaven. And as we go deeper into this mystery, the richer the fruit, and the fruit, as we've been reflecting on over these past weeks, is purpose and love and joy and peace, comfort, strength, healing and hope that was alive and present in Jesus as he walked the earth back then. But only now we experience that through each other as the Holy Spirit of God through Jesus works through us and in us and for us. During the past year or so, we have been receiving weekly sermons from Bishops Andrew and Joe, Archdeacons Paul and Peter, and it's to Paul's sermon I was particularly touched this time. And I'd like to turn today, and I am taking some extracts from his sermon that you can find the link on the news sheet if you care to see it in its fullest, see him preaching it or read it. But he did start talking about that Trinity Sunday, I mean, we say it every year, it's the short straw prize. You know, the curate, I was a curate and I think I preached on it four times. The vicar goes away on holiday, it's that kind of thing. It's a bit of a standing joke, you know, in the, but as I say, I'm going to turn to him. So Paul begins by acknowledging that preaching on Trinity Sunday, like I said, is like the short straw prize.
And he talks about how he has preached on it over the years, using illustrations of the water, the steam, the ice to explain, you know, one it's all water but different mediums. Or he uses the Rublev's Trinity icon, which we saw earlier, which keeps recurring through our presentation. The hospitality of Abraham, where the Father, Son and Holy Spirit is illustrated, but there's a space in that at the table for us to join in that circle of love, that dance of love and life. And from here, Paul goes on to say this: I'm not sure what the theological fashion is these days, but I find myself in a place where I increasingly want to ask, what difference does all this really make? What difference does an understanding of God, the Trinity, make to a world that is ridden by disease, as we continue to witness the horrendous scenes in India, that is torn apart by conflict, as over 200 lives have been lost on the Gaza Strip in the last few weeks, that is plagued by injustice? What difference does it make to our country as it seeks to emerge from the pandemic and rebuild community, economy, education, health provision, leadership, and much else? What difference does it make to me, Paul, as I sit in the hours of the night at the bedside of my poorly mother, the victim of a condition undiagnosed during the COVID crisis? And to you, to me, and to you, to all of us, in the joys and the sorrows of our lives, what difference might reflecting on God, the Holy Trinity, really make in the midst of all this mess? The difference it makes for us, Paul says, as disciples of Jesus, is that the Trinity is at the heart of who we understand God to be. And this has a direct consequence on who we understand ourselves to be. Genesis 1 verse 26 tells us that we are made in the image of God. So questions about the nature of God are also questions about the nature of us, human beings. As I reflected upon the three appointed readings for today, Paul says, I found myself doing so through the lens of the vision recently shared by our archbishops, calling for a church that is humbler, simpler, bolder. Isaiah points us towards humility, beautifully read by Frank there. His calling has long been read on this Sunday. We have the holy, holy, holy that we share in Holy Communion liturgy. And if we look a bit further, we see both the glory and mystery, the glory that's seen through the robe and the smoke and the seraphs and filled the temple, and the mystery that is unseen, that God cannot be contained, he cannot be compassed by Isaiah's vision, by a sermon, or in any other attempt. But what is significant for us, Paul suggests, is this story is Isaiah's response. Woe is me, I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The vision of God, the Holy Trinity, set before us today is articulated so beautifully in that first hymn. How shall I sing that majesty which angels do admire? Let dust in dust and silence lie. Sing, sing, ye heavenly choir. And he goes on to say that Paul expresses the most fundamental and transformational truth about our identity before God. He says we're not just made in the image, as we're taught, but we're also adopted as children of this God who sits on the throne. For when we cry, Abba, Father, It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs in Christ. So St. Paul makes clear here that there's not a hint of inequality amongst God's children. We're equal in status, no favourites, no precedence. And it's the reason Paul suggests why racial justice, social justice, living in love and faith, and lots of thinking and reflecting that's happening in the church and in the world today is really important. They're core and fundamental to our belief about God, the Holy Trinity, and what it means for us to be his children. And then in the Gospel reading, John continues to unfold the divine mystery, a story about boldness. It begins with human boldness and ends with divine boldness as it travels from the dark into the light. It travels from the darkness of Nicodemus's questioning to the light of the new life, the new birth that Jesus offers him. He's bold because he asks questions that he doesn't understand. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I've been in a position and I've been too embarrassed or for whatever reason to ask. Jesus carries Nicodemus from the night of his ignorance into the light of his revelation. A light which reveals that new birth makes everything look different. And we are enabled when we turn, when we believe, and when we have a go to test that belief. We can see then the character of the Father who so loved the world that he sent his Son, in whose life we share by the power of the Spirit. And this is the boldness of the Holy Trinity. Love in John's Gospel, as we have been reflecting, is a verb. It's action. It doesn't remain a word, it becomes a word made flesh. It becomes a doing word in the world, in our lives, in our hearts. And that love that we find deep at the heart of the Trinity is unconditional and sacrificial sometimes. And so, as the curtain lifts today on the second half of the church's year, when we focus on Christian teaching rather than on the life of Jesus, we do so knowing that we are loved beyond measure and we are giving all that we need when we turn to the source for strength and empowerment of it. It blesses us by drawing us into the life through being children of the Father, adopted through the grace of Jesus the Son, and born again through the work of the Holy Spirit, who lives within us, enables us to be brothers and sisters in Christ together. So we thank Paul, don't we, for these provocative and very compelling words. We pray too for Paul and his family as they nurse and tend to Paul's mother, that she and all who we know in our hearts and all in the world who are in need be comforted and strengthened. And so to that holy and incomprehensible Trinity be all honour and glory and power and might, now and forever. Amen.